Thursday night before Pesach, I decided I'm not going weiter, and I'm going to give a chazara. I don't want to go weiter. We're going to take a break now for the whole Pesach. And Perek Revi is so important, I don't want to just start it. So I'll give a chazara. In the psich of Shara Bitachon, first the definition of Bitachon. So we worked out that the best English word to use is to rely on Hashem, relying as an active verb. Because really, if you think about it, everything a person does, every single thing a person does, he's relying on something. There's no such thing as you're relying on something. When you're relying on the bus driver, you're relying on your boss, you're relying on the electric company, you're relying on your own capabilities, you're relying on the ability of your mind to tell your hand what to do. You're always relying, you're always soimach on something to be able to function. And the Midah of Bitachon tells us it's not a frumkeit. It tells us to get into touch with reality and to rely on Hashem. Because really, everything is empowered by Hashem. So you might as well get in touch with reality. It doesn't... We're chazering Shara Bitachon tonight, where we're up to, the first for three prakim. It doesn't tell you... It's not a result-oriented Midah. Although the Chavis Shalvava says it's one of the benefits, one of the fallouts of Bitachon. But the Midah itself is not result-oriented, and it's not even the Midah of Koma de Ovid Rachmana Latav Ovid. It's its own Midah. It's a verb to rely on Hashem, and you practice doing it. You say, I'm relying on the bus driver to get me to Yerushalayim. No, I'm relying on Hashem to have the bus driver get me to Yerushalayim. And although it sounds like almost a word trick, but it really, if you're capable of believing those words, then it changes your whole... Then you realize all the benefits that the Chavis Halvavos talks about in the Psicha. The Psicha is one big advertisement for Bitachon. He talks about, like an advertisement, you know, like Wonder Bread builds your body in 12 ways. So he says Bitachon builds your spiritual life in 6 ways, and builds your physical life in 5 ways. He gives you a list of benefits of Bitachon. Because it just transformed your whole outlook on everything. Once you're capable of really, truly relying on Hashem. So what did the Chavis Halvavos say in the Psicha? Number one is you get results. He doesn't guarantee results, but he says it's more likely. And he doesn't explain why. We said two biurim. One biur is that, as we say in our tefillos, v'lo nevosh ki v'cha b'tachnu, v'lo nevosh li'olam v'ed, ki b'shem kachecha ha'gadol v'anoga b'tachnu, or the Perek in Tillim says, Perek Chavbeis, v'cha b'tcha v'seinu b'tcha v'lo voshu, that there's a dynamic in the world that if you're truly relying on Hashem, Hashem comes through to you, for you, because he doesn't want you to feel like a jerk. I relied on you and now look what happened. So that's one biur in the Chavis Halvavos. Another biur, again, and what we'd like Hashem to do is what we see is told. It really starts a whole thread of philosophical thought. Told is to be healthy, told is to be self-sufficient and not to have to take stalker, told is to be married and have children. That's what we see as told, and that's normative told. And there's nothing wrong with asking Hashem for normative told, as long as we realize that, whether because of the Chet of Adam HaRishon or because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Tov is not always what we think it is. Sometimes it's part of a bigger picture. If you miss a plane, so it's not Tov. If the plane then crashes and you weren't on it, then, oh wow, wow is that Tov, right? So sometimes it's a lack of vision. Sometimes it's because we are so limited in our vision that we don't see the Tov. And sometimes it's more esoteric, and sometimes it spans Doros, and sometimes it's like, it's something Moshe Rabbeinu grappled with, and, you know, so it must be a very basic issue, what's Tov. But there's nothing wrong with davening Refeinu Hashem B'nei Rafei, because we know it. Normative Tov is, I get on the bus, I want to make it to Yerushalayim, right? I don't want to be stuck in traffic. I don't want there to be a chefetz chashud, and I get home an hour later than I thought. And in the back of my mind, but if it happens, I'm sure that's told. So that's number one. Number two, and then getting back, we said another beer in the chayvus haldavus is dynamic, and that is the Ramban and Eov and by Sdom, that the more a person relies on Hashem, the more he lives with Hashem. The more he lives with Hashem, the more he bonds with Hashem, and the more he bonds with Hashem, the more Hashgacha Pratis he has, and the more Hashgacha, meaning this billions of levels of Hashgacha, there is Hashgacha, that's a basic belief that a Jew has, but there could be Hashgacha on the city, Hashgacha on the family, and so, but the more a person lives with Hashem and relies on Hashem, Ramban says, the more Hashgacha Pratis he'll be privy to, and the more Hashgacha Pratis he's privy to, the more things will work out in the way that he sees as Tov. So Ramban and Eel and Embracious and by Sdom. So that's the second possible beer that we gave in the Chavit Haldovus' first benefit, that the more you rely on Hashem, the more successful you'll be. And things will indeed work out the way you'd like them to, given the limitations of Hishtadlus and of Neis and of Hashem has other plans for you. Okay, that's benefit number one. Benefit number two of the mindset of Bitachon is the ability to think for yourself. Nowadays it's not considered a milus, I don't know. It's kind of old fashioned, the Chavis Halavos. To the ability to think for yourself, form your own value system. He's talking about a maimon, someone that's maimon in Torah. He's not talking about a guy in the street that doesn't know Torah. He's talking about a Jew who believes in Hashem, who believes in Torah, who believes in the 39 Imamins. So Bitachon allows him to form his own sense of values, to stand up against evil, to be mochiach people who do evil, not to go along with evil, and to be independent, to be an independent thinker, to be a creative thinker. He doesn't have the limitations of fear of failure because he has Bitachon. He's going to work it out. Okay, that's the second benefit. The third benefit is that he's not stressed, he's calm, and then he goes off into a whole, not tangent, but he says, imagine the person that you think is the most calm person in the world. Who is that person? So he says, a guy with a money machine, a guy who has his father's credit card, a guy who, a counterfeiter. He talks about a counterfeiter. I don't know, in his days, he didn't think it was a counterfeiter. They had people that could change metal into gold, and alchemist, and maybe he thought it was real and he could really do it. I don't know, it's not clear from the Chazit Haldovus. It doesn't matter. Imagine a guy that can produce money whenever he wants. That's what he says. That's who we think the calmest person in the world will be. Because any problem he has, he'll just throw money at it. Like the United States government, right? You just throw money. You got a problem, you just throw money. So then he says, the Baal Bitachon, that's who we think is the calmest person in the world. A person who has an endless supply of money. And then he gives 10 ways in which the Baal Bitachon is calmer than this person. This person's not calm. And he goes through a whole litany of things. He needs his raw materials to produce the money. If he gets sick with a disease that is not curable, then all the money in the world is not going to help him. And if there's no food to be had, all the money in the world is not going to help him. If there's a hunger, if he has lousy relationships, which most very wealthy people, not, I shouldn't say most, but many, many wealthy people, by the Goyim for sure, they're like incapable of forming relationships. There's a very, I once recommended the book Deep Blue by that guy that wrote the book about the Pora Aduma that I once recommended. I'm forgetting his name now. Because what? Yeah. So he wrote a book, Deep Blue. It's a fantastic book. It's an unbelievable book. You should read it. Everybody should read it. It's good to read. But there's one scene in the book which really, it's a totally Zeitika thing, but it really hit home. The guy, like, discovers, it happens, this guy who's struggling and this and that, all of a sudden he's like, becomes multi-millionaire. It's a Yerusha, that's part of the story. And if, now you're not going to read the book because I gave away the ending. He becomes a multimillionaire. And it's fascinating. He has two chasanim, who are chosan with his daughters. And the book, like all of a sudden, it's not even a minor part of the book. It's just a scene in a paragraph on a page. But it really hit me. All of a sudden, they're talking to him differently. And he doesn't understand. Like you said about love, like ain't pano emo kitzmo shilshom. Like he asks his wife, like what's? Well, he says you don't understand. Like now they're scared of you now. Like you're this rich. Like you know, people react to rich people differently. They react to fabulously wealthy people differently than they react with normal people. That's what Allah says. So it's not going to help his relationships no matter how rich he is. But now he has a fear of his kids getting kidnapped. And he has to worry as armed guards and barbed wire around his house. So he goes through 10 things. Then he says another benefit is that he uses... Allah is obsessed with money. The reason why Allah is obsessed with money is because we're obsessed with money. And the, you know, probably the major playing field of Bitachon, even though there's many others, as he himself details in Perek Dalet, but the major one is money, paying the bills, having enough money for what we want to do, for what we'd like to do, for paying the electric bill, for some people for putting food on the table. So he says one of the benefits of Bitachon is that you learn to deal with money. Because if you're a Baal Bitachon, then you understand where the money is coming from, and you use the money for mitzvahs, for good things, and you're not afraid what will be in the future, and you have a good, healthy relationship with money. And if you don't have money, you have a good relationship with your lack of money. You thank Hashem for not giving you the nisayon of having money, which is a tremendous nisayon, and anyway, your relationship with money will be good. This is all. Then he says, and he'll use his money for Avodas Hashem. Okay. Then he says, the benefits in Olam Hazeh. First benefit is lack of stress, calm. As all medical literature tells us, this is a major, major cause of illness. Major, major cause of all sorts of problems. So that's number one, is that he's not stressed, he's calm. Benefit number one. Benefit number two, he's happy, he's in a good mood. Cheerful guy, walking around with a smile on his face. He's optimistic, slaps you on the back. He's in a good mood. He's not walking around. Okay. He knows how to deal with disappointments. The Baal Bitachon knows how to deal with disappointments. He doesn't get depressed. He doesn't start yelling at his wife and kids. He doesn't jump off a roof. He doesn't get, you know, he learns to deal with, he can deal with disappointments. Anyway, these are the benefits of Bitachon. So he says, come on, don't you want to become a Baal Bitachon? Let's become a Baal Bitachon. Perek Aleph defines Bitachon, but not in the way we think the word definition, because he doesn't define it, like we said, relying on Hashem. He describes the essence of Bitachon in Perek Aleph, which is around 5 or 6 lines. And again, he goes back to, now he's talking about, not the benefit, but he's describing it. And he describes it as, you are calm because you gave over your peckle to someone else. You're relying on something else. That's what the word Bitachon is. But it's fascinating. He doesn't just say, you gave it over to someone. That's what it means, Bitachon. You're relying on someone else. It's your serenity that exists because you are relying on someone else, something else. That's how he captures the essence of Bitachon, is the serenity that comes about through the fact that, you know, you gave it to someone that you can rely on. So, like, you don't have that headache anymore. You can forget about it. I'm nervous every Erev Pesach. Am I going to get Erev Pesach matzahs? Nervous. The lines, long lines. And all the protector people come first. You could be standing on line for 2 hours, then the guy comes in, the Rebbe wants in, and it gets, everybody pushes ahead. And I give it to my son to take care of. I say, David, you get me Erev Pesach Matzos? He goes, yes. I don't know if he'll do it this year. But he's done it the last 10 years. And I know I become calm. It's been nervous Erev Pesach, now I'm calm. I gave it over to David. He's going to come home with sometimes 3, sometimes 6 Erev Pesach Matzos. So I'm calm because I gave it over to a capable person. So then in Perek Beis, the Chavis Haldovus starts telling you, you know, to be calm, you have to believe the person cares about you. And he goes through a list of things, 7 things that would allow you to be calm. We say allow you to have bitachon, but we always have to remember Perek Aleph, how he defined bitachon. Person cares about you, wants what's good for you, is capable, no one can stop him from doing it once he decides to do it, and so on and so forth. Those are the 7 things that's kedai to memorize, or it's kedai to think about your own, because you would also put things on the list. I don't know. Although this made a very comprehensive list of 7 things that allow you to have bitachon in something. And then he ends the parak going through nach and throwing, it's really logic, but he brings down psukim and nach because he assumes you know nach, so he wants you to remember that Hashem has all these seven qualities. And really, logically, only Hashem has these 7 qualities to the degree that we can be totally calm if we're relying on Hashem. Because by a person, probably doesn't even have one of the qualities absolutely. Then a Paragimel already says, okay, let's get to work. Now that we finish with the definitions and with the descriptions, now we talk about how to develop bitachon. So he says 5 things you have to do in order to develop it. Because it's very hard. You say, okay, I'm relying on Hashem. So he wants to help you. Because I'm relying on Hashem, that'll last around 5 seconds. And you go, help! Right? So says, number one is to think about the 7 things and to realize how true they are about Hashem. And he goes through all 7 things again in a slightly different order. And Baruch Hashem, this time around, I came up with a teretz why he changes the order. Because he's talking about developing bitachon. So he makes the order the way you would develop it, stepping stones. Hashenkin, in Perek Beis, he's talking about, in a way of lo zuavzu, he's listing the 7 things you need to have bitachon, so he goes lo zuavzu. But here in Perek Gimel, he's talking about developing it, so he gives a different order. Baruch Hashem, I'm very happy about that. It's very bothered me for many years. I didn't see any mefarish. They all say, you know, because there's no difference what the order is, so he just changes around the order. Not mustava to me that a Rishon would do that. So I think that's the answer. So it says, first of all, you have to realize the 7 things are true. And he describes the 7 things in a much more elaborate way than he does in Perek Beis. And finally, he says, so that's number one, is to realize about the 7 things. Number two is that Hashem knows your kishkas. Hashem knows what you're thinking. Hashem knows what your attitude is. Hashem knows what your motive is. Hashem knows everything that's going on inside of you, your agenda, your motive, your deepest thoughts. And you have to get that clear before you develop bitachon, I think, or else you're going to end up paying lip service to bitachon. But if you realize, Hashem knows if I really have bitachon or not, so you can't get away with lip service. You can't even get away with non-lip service. Like I said, I used to walk through Shar Shechem. I first moved to Eretz Yisrael and I taught Neshat Torah. But my heart was thumping, so I thought I was very brave in having bitachon. But my heart didn't have bitachon. My heart was like... So, that's number two. Number three is to realize that Hashem is the only one you could rely on. There's no other power that could even share what you're relying on Hashem for. Number four is probably the most difficult, because you talked about Hashem will do for you even if you don't deserve it. And here in Perek Gimel, number four is you have to do your best to do the will of Hashem. If you do your best to do the will of Hashem, then Hashem, so to speak, will reciprocate. But if you rebel against Hashem, it's not logical that you can say, okay, I'm relying on Hashem to do for me good things, what I see is good. if you then turn around and, as it says in Pirkei Avos, "Asay Ritzono Kiritzoncha, Kadesh Yaser Ritzoncha Kiritzono, Batal Ritzoncha Mei Ritzono, Kadesh Yivatal Ritzono Chem Mei Ritzono." But if you don't do his rosh, now this is actually the stira to him saying that Hashem will do for you even if you don't deserve it. We answered by saying that here he's talking about doing your best. There he's talking about the guilt feelings everyone has, that as much as they try and to do their best, but we usually fall short. So you say, well then how can I rely on Hashem? So he says, no, it's not true. You can rely on Hashem. He will do for you even if you don't deserve it. Think of the world being created, b'midas harachamim, not just b'midas hadin. He saw that the world is not niskayim if it's just midas hadin. So he had to be mishatef midas harachamim. Here he's talking about a rebel, someone who doesn't care about the Ratzon Hashem consciously, willingly. Because he can't turn around and expect Hashem to do for you. Now, this happens to be a philosophical point that's not pashut. There is a Ramban, there's a Gra, there are those who explicitly say that even a Rasha can have bitachon and Hashem will respond accordingly. Bitachon is like, it's like giving to Kupus a ear, like, you know, it's like it has its own track, it has its own track, and it works. Think of this pasuk: Rabim Macholvim La Rasha, Baboteach Pashem Chesed Yisol Vivenu. So the Gra sees that as one sentence: Rabim Macholvim La Rasha. But if he's Boteach Pashem, it's based on a Gemara in Shabbos that says Rishom Hoyu Avol Tolu Bitchonam B'Mokom. Such a Gemara in Shabbos. It's an interesting shaila. I think it's almost not noigeya, just on a practical level. Because if you're talking about real bitachon, it's hard to imagine a rasha. You know, if someone really knows and has internalized that all seven things about Hashem is true, he loves you and he cares about you and he's strong and he's omnipotent, and he, you know, so you're not going to turn around and like go against, be a rasha. It's like, Elamai is talking about Rasha the Teyavon. That's what I finally realized. I thought it was like almost like not a practical issue. But then I realized they're talking about a Rasha the Teyavon. So it is a practical issue. For someone who can't control his desires. So he could talk of beholding by all of the things and having bitachon. But he's a Rasha the Teyavon. That's what I chak. There is a machlokes, and there's a machlokes. The Chavis holds no. There is an interesting, I think the Chavis Lavovus here is very typical. The Chavis Lavovus, many places in the Sefer, many places in the Sefer, uses the human experience to describe your relationship with Hashem. Like, think how you would treat your friend if he did, like, it's almost comical in a way. Like, you talk about Hashem, and we're used to, like, oh, Hashem. But he always says, how would you treat your friend if he did the kach v'kach? How would you feel if your friend did this to you? How would you feel if your master did this to you, if you're a worker? If your employer did this to you? And he uses like the human experience, I call it. So here also he does it. He says, you know, you're going to a guy for a, you know, you're going to a guy for a favor, and he asks you to do something, and you just stay off the grass, and you walk on the grass. Then you knock on his door and you ask him for a loan. Well, you got to be nuts. That's how he says it. Okay. Number five is the biggie, because number five is where he says everything is determined by Hashem. Nothing happens without it being a gzardin from Shemayim. No body, no thing, not even a baal bechira, none of this nonsense. He holds this nonsense. Everything is decreed by Hashem. He then says, wait a second. So why should I bother doing anything? He then says, and this is where he gets into Hishtadlus, because Hashem created a world where you have to be Misasik Pasibos. That's the world Hashem made. Look around. You see, Hashem, you don't always become rich through someone dying and leaving you a Yerusha. You don't become rich through someone coming down your chimney and giving you a bag of gold. People become rich through working and investing, and you know, but realize that it's all a mirage. Hashem said he'd become rich. Hashem decided if he was going to become rich or not. We will learn about this in Perek Dalet more. There's a Perek Dalet where he discusses hands-on practical workshop type bitachon scenarios. He talks about a guy that wants to be rich, a guy that wants to make ends meet. He talks about these things in Perek Dalet, and more specifically talks about how the Baal Bitachon feels about these things, how he should think about these things. But here he develops the idea of Ishtadlus, and as was said the last few days, because he's so strong in the Indian of Bitachon, that Hashem's Gezerah, so he's sort of forced to say Ishtadlus is the Rotzon Hashem, Al Karchach, to just that you're doing things. And then he says, so why? Then he explains why Hashem wants you to do Ishtadlus, but and then it turns it around like 180 degrees. So then you're doing the Ratzon Hashem. So all you have to do is have the right kavana when you're doing your Ishtadlus, and you're doing a great mitzvah. You're being an Eved Hashem, b'chol derechecha da'ehu, and you won't fall into the trap of thinking Kaychi v'ritzim yodi, and so on and so forth. That ends Perek Gimel. And then Perek Dalet is, he talks about L'maisa Dikka Bitachon. How do you apply Bitachon in different scenarios in life? Now, we're not going to learn Kitzah. We're going to learn Tanya. Kitzah we learned already after Meir of Dvar Halacha.